Good morning.
Morning.
You happy about the rain?
Yeah.
Amen.
Glad you are. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which had called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye be called on, if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's word, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And let's pray. Father, we are thankful that you gave us your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're thankful for that free salvation and the grace of God and the mercy that you bestowed upon us through his sacrifice. For that we're grateful. We're grateful for the opportunity to gather your name freely, without danger.
Amen.
We're grateful for that. We want to be thankful. Not everybody has that privilege or that blessing. We're thankful for all those that are here this morning.
We ask you to bless those that couldn't make it. Give them strength and health. And we give you glory and praise in the name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of stuff I want to go through this morning, but I want to just take a moment to step back and get some perspective, because this is the Apostle Peter writing. Peter was called out by the Lord to be an apostle. He was a commercial fisherman. He had his own business going. He was a married man. He was probably one of the older apostles or those original chosen of those young men, and they looked to him. He was definitely a leader. He had his own problems, own quirks, like you and I do, all of us do. That's one of the reasons I like Peter. He just seems to be, you know, we can identify with him, I guess that's a word, because he didn't have his head in the clouds all the time. He made mistakes, but he bounced back from his mistakes. And so from that perspective, I just want to step back a little bit and just remind us of what is really going on in Peter's intent. Peter's not really telling us about, like Paul did in Ephesians, you know, we are now in the heavenly places, and giving you that glamour and splendor of the glories in heaven and what God's doing, and talking about the church, the bride that's going to be with Christ and different things like that. Peter said, hey, Jesus Christ died for us, and he's begotten us with a lively hope. He rose again. You all didn't get to see it, but there's a blessing in that. There's a blessing you didn't get to see it, but you have hope, and you're blessed because even though you didn't see, you believe. But let me tell you something, it's not going to be an easy road. There's going to be some challenges. If you're going to go out and catch men for the Lord Jesus Christ and become a fisher of men, let me tell you something as a fisher myself, that, you know, it's not all glory. Sometimes you get a hook in your finger. Sometimes the nets get all tangled up. Sometimes you cast out the net and it sinks, and then you lost the net. Sometimes the boat gets a hole in it. Sometimes the sails get ripped. Sometimes you get caught in a storm and it's raining. Sometimes you fish all night and don't catch anything. But he says, hang in there. Hang in there. It's all right. Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Yeah? So think about the end and understand that God foresaw all this before it had ever happened.
Amen.
God is in control.
Amen.
Nothing takes him by surprise. He understands about the storms. He's pretty calm in the storms. He sleeps through them. He's not bothered by it. Yeah? Don't get hasty like Peter did. Lord, care us now that we perish. When you go through your tribulations, and he tells you right here, you're going to suffer. There's going to be some trials of your faith. There's going to be some temptations. But hang in there. It's all right. Keep your hope on him that's coming. He's going to reveal himself one day. It's going to be all right. If you know the end of the story, hang in there. Don't be discouraged because your team's down by 30. Because the end score is you're going to be the victor. Yeah. So that's the broad picture that Peter's giving here. And he talks about this salvation. He says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That is one of the most important questions you can ask yourself. Have I been saved? Have I been begotten again, as he says earlier in the chapter? Have you been born again? Notice I didn't ask you if you'd been water baptized. I didn't ask you if you go to church. I didn't ask you if you belong to a denomination. I didn't ask you if you read the Bible. All those things may be good or bad. The question, the pertinent question is, have you been born again? Have you been saved? What a tragedy it would be if you go through life and with all the trials and difficulties in life, and then at the end, you find yourself in eternal hell. So you should examine yourself whether you be in the faith. You should ask yourself, what am I trusting in to be forgiven? Amen. And forgiveness is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation is found in Jesus Christ, not in your efforts, not in your religion, not in your water baptism, not in your sacraments. Salvation is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And can you say confidently that my soul has been saved? I've been born again. If you can say that, then there's some things here for you. You're going to have a hard road to coming up. But it's all right, because your soul's been saved. And what you go through for just a few short years has no comparison with eternity. But on the other hand, if you neglect God, run from God, resist God, refuse His salvation, refuse His extended hand, refuse His invitation, and then you go through life and then die and end up in hell, that would be a great tragedy.
Amen.
So the question for you, have you been saved? Now, one of the difficulties that people think, mistakenly, they think, oh, if I'm saved, now everything is going to be bliss. Everything is going to be okay. And you can go through some of the stories in the Bible, like Job and other places in the Bible, and you would think, you know, the saints of God would be protected. God would keep them from harm. He's around them. But you're going to find that the saints were persecuted. The saints of God suffered, and sometimes unrighteously they suffered. And yet, they had hope that the coming of the Lord was coming. And so they got through it. So what Peter's saying here is, first of all, God already knows. He's got it all figured out. He's in control. Don't worry about the temptations and the trials that come your way. Hang in there. It's going to be all right. God has a purpose. It's okay to pray for patience. I know we don't like that, but because what comes with it. But it's all right, because God is perfecting you. God is working in you, and God is watching over you, and He has His hands on you, and He's trying to do something for eternal glory. So hang in there. It's going to be all right. Also, listen, this great salvation has come to you.
Thank you, Lord.
You Gentiles.
Thank you, Lord.
You Americans. This salvation has come to us.
Amen.
Do you realize that? Throughout history, the Jews were saying, it's us. God has elected us. But did you know what? He elected you too.
Thank you, Lord.
And Peter tells us in this portion, he says, boy, these prophets, they were prophesying. The Spirit of Christ was in them, and they were telling, and they were searching diligent for that day when Christ would be in you and the grace of God would come to you. And they were searching diligently. And Peter is saying, guess what? It's happening with you. The prophecies are coming true in your life, in our lives. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Look what he says in verse 10. Of which salvation That salvation that brought salvation to your soul, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now them old prophets, some of them, they preached and they weren't quite sure when it was going to happen. What's going on? We see this, and when they get to the times of Jesus, those scholars in his day, they're looking, boy, they saw the glory. They saw the victory, the promised victory. They saw that, but somehow they missed the sufferings. And here Peter tells us they prophesied of the sufferings and of the glory that should follow. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that the order that we usually see? First the sufferings, then the glory. Did you know there's never in the history of mankind, in the history of the world, there's never been a resurrection without a death? Do you think about that? Resurrection, we think, man, that's glorious. But you know what has to happen in order to have a resurrection? Somebody's got to die. And death is not fun. But the sufferings of Christ and the resurrection. When the disciples saw the sufferings of Christ, they themselves gave up. Peter says, well, I'm going fishing. I'm just going to go back to what I was doing. You know, they just lost hope. And what Peter is saying here is, I've been through it. Don't lose hope.
Yeah.
Keep your eye on there. The Lord is coming back. His revelation is coming. Hang in there. It's all right. First the sufferings, then the glory.
Amen.
A few verses about that. First, the sufferings. I'm going to pick up some verses from the New Testament when they're quoting the Old Testament. Because what happened is these apostles, when they were with Christ and Christ rose again, they connected the dots.
Right.
They started saying, oh, now we understand. This goes here. This goes here. Wow. They began to see it, and what a blessing that was when you see something in the Scriptures. How about you? Have you ever seen something in the Scriptures? I know for me, in my own experience, the first time that I understood the gospel, it was like, wow!
Amen.
That's clear! It wasn't clear before, but when I saw it, it's like, I can't unsee it. It's so clear!
Praise the Lord.
All my life I thought, well, if I'm going to go to heaven, I got to be good.
Yeah.
And I knew I had a problem because I wasn't good, and I just figured, I don't know how I'm going to make it. And then I ran across the catechist, and they told me, well, you got to keep the Ten Commandments. And when I read those Ten Commandments, I thought, oh boy, now I'm in really big trouble. And I was just sort of without hope. And then one day, somebody opened up the Bible and connected the dots and showed me that Christ died for not the good people. He died for sinners like me. And if I would call upon his name, he would save my soul. And it became a revelation for me. Wow. Thank God for that. So here's a few verses where the apostles and the Lord himself are connecting the dots. Luke chapter 24 and verse 25. And he said unto them, so the disciples here, you know, they're on the road to Emmaus. They've given up hope. They said, oh man, they're conversing about, we thought this was the Christ. We thought there was going to be glory, but they hung him on the cross and now he's laying in a grave. Well, Jesus appears unto him, and we pick up the story. He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. Wow. You know what Jesus did? He took this Old Testament and he began pointing out these prophets were talking about me.
Wow.
Did you miss it? These prophets were talking about me. They foretold my suffering. They foretold the glory that was to follow. And at the end, they saw it. But at the time, they were a little bit confused. Paul brings up this same thing. Acts chapter 26 and verse 20. Acts 26 verse 20. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. You know, when Moses was trampling on this earth, it was a long, long, long time ago.
Right.
Way before Christ ever showed up, and he's prophesying things to come. Can anybody here tell me exactly what's going to happen tomorrow? You know, we might have a chance of getting some things right and some things wrong. If you have a habit of going to work, you probably can say, well, I'm going to go to work tomorrow. That may or may not be true because you might wake up sick and not get to work. You might get a flat tire. You just don't know. But can you imagine a man prophesying 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago and telling you what's going to happen? That's what Paul's saying. He says, saying none other than those things which the prophets in Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And Paul is connecting the dots. He's saying Moses himself and all the prophets, they said that Christ was going to suffer and that he was going to rise again and that the gospel would come even unto the Gentiles. And I can imagine some people within hearing of Paul saying, wow, you're right. There it is. Now I understand. And I can imagine some other people just scratching their head thinking, I don't know. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Sometimes you preach the gospel and you get a wow moment. And sometimes you preach the gospel and it's like they're staring in space like, what's going on? Well, I hope you can get a wow moment. Peter himself in Acts chapter 3 and verse 17. He says, and now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear, him you shall hear, that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed should all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, send him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Peter's saying the same thing, what he's writing in this epistle. He said the prophets foretold this day that this was going to happen, and it's happening before your very eyes. Well, what are you going to do about it? Rejoice! Hang in there! Endure the trials of your faith, because he's coming again.
Amen.
And the glory that shall follow. 1 Peter chapter 4 and 12, he talks about it later on in his same epistle. He said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. In other words, don't worry about the suffering and the trials and the difficulties of this life, because Christ is coming again. It's been foretold, and just as it is foretold about His sufferings, it's also foretold about His resurrection and about His revelation. He's coming again. Hang in there. It's going to be all right. Chapter 5 and verse 1 of the same book, 1 Peter. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Are you a partaker of that glory? Did you know what? There's something about the Christ being in us that gives us joy, gives us peace in the middle of a storm. I'm thankful that Christ is in my life.
Amen.
Some of my coworkers, they can't figure out. They ask me, why are you so calm? Why are you always happy?
Yeah.
You know, I can't really preach to them, but I just, you know, I'm just happy. I'm always happy. They say, why are you so happy? I said, I'm glad you asked. Because they opened the door and now I can answer. I said, Christ is in me. He's forgiven my sins. He's changed my life. And I know it's going to happen. I read the last chapter. Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Don't you get upset when the customers are upset? Not really. Why? It doesn't matter. It's going to be all right. My sins are forgiven. It's not a big deal. And there's so many people that don't have Christ and don't understand the peace of God. One of the prophets said, they say peace, peace, but there is no peace. The wicked, they don't have peace. Peace is found in the child of peace, in Jesus Christ. You want real lasting peace? Give your life to Christ.
Amen.
Come to Christ. There is no peace as long as the nagging conviction of your sins are afflicting your soul. There's no peace. But you can find the perfect forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And once you do that, it's the peace of God.
Amen.
It's amazing.
He
comes into your life and He says, peace be still. And all them waves going up, down, boom, they're still. No more wind blowing. It's like a sea of glass. That is what Christ can give you. And that's what Peter is talking about. He said, if you go through these trials, it's okay. God's with us. Look over in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 7, just to follow up on the glory that should follow. Talking about Christ. Thou madest Him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest Him with glory and honor, and didst set Him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put in all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. That's what I meant, that He's got all things under control. But now we see not yet all things put under Him, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became Him for whom all things, whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Hey, He's saying that these sufferings have a purpose. And the final outcome is going to be glory. Just hang in there. It's all right. Don't lose that lively hope. Keep your hope unto the end. Where are we at now? Back in Peter. He says, not unto themselves. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister these things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. Did you know there were literally thousands of people looking with great expectation to the coming of Christ? They were reading the scriptures and they were saying, where is the promise of His coming? When is He going to come? And they were trying to figure out what was going on. Let's read a few things here in the scriptures. Look over in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 16. Jesus spoke of these things. He said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you have heard and have not heard them. You are blessed. Why? Because we see and hear what Christ has done.
Amen.
And that's what Peter was writing to these Gentiles and these Jews and these scattered abroad. He's saying, listen, you weren't there, but you believe, and I'm here as a witness. Christ did suffer. It was prophesied. The prophets foretold. It's not the end of the world that he died on the cross, because he rose again.
Amen. Amen.
Hang in there. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. Talking about all these sufferings that the saints of God had. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Isn't that what we are?
Yeah.
We're strangers. People don't know us. They don't understand us. We speak a different lingo, a different language. Where are you from? You're not from here, are you? You ever live in a different country? As soon as you start speaking, they say, you're not from here, are you? Where are you from? I'm from a different world. Are you from a different world? Can the people of this world identify you as a stranger by the way you talk? Isn't all our speech supposed to be seasoned with grace?
Amen.
Shouldn't there be a difference in our vocabulary than the vocabulary of this world?
Amen.
Shouldn't we use the name of Christ for the glory of His honor instead of taking it in vain?
Yeah.
Instead of cursing His name, shouldn't we be blessing His name? Instead of complaining and groaning and moaning, shouldn't we be thankful?
Amen.
Shouldn't people say, you're different?
Yes.
You're different. There's something about you. You're different. Not in a strange kind of way where you tattoo your face and you look kind of weird and all that kind of stuff and put pins in your nose and through your ears and through your cheeks and on your head and all that kind of stuff. Not that kind of weird stuff. But shouldn't they say, there's something about you that's different?
Yeah.
You've got something that I don't have. I tell you what, that was the effect it had on me when those two young girls in Ypsilanti, Michigan, some 50 years ago, I went to work. They professed that they were Christians, but I hadn't put two to two together, one and two together. I hadn't connected the dots, but I knew that they had something that I didn't have.
Yeah.
They had a peace of God, and they had a joy of God. And then that night that I had an opportunity to hear the gospel, it all came together. Wow. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Thank God, and Peter's saying, he's telling us, we are right in the midst of it, this very thing that the prophets have prophesied about, that the old saints of God, those that believe God, were waiting for it to happen. They didn't obtain the promises, but we're living it now. And Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
And then he says, in this passage, he said, speaking about these things, about the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Not only were the prophets looking forward, trying to see when this was going to happen and how it was going to work out, but he's saying the angels themselves are looking in to see what's going on. Now, I don't have all the answers on how to explain that, but I have a wild imagination. I got a feeling there might be an angel sitting next to you. Can't see them, but they're there. They're watching. If nothing else, they're looking over the portals of heaven and saying, what is going on down there?
Yeah.
Wow. Look at that. Jews and Gentiles in the church of Christ. Look at that. Sinners converted by the grace of God. Wow, that's amazing. Look at that life change. Wow. Hey, you over here. Look. Hey, come over here. Angels, look down there. Look at that guy. Lyndall Kincaid saved. Can you believe it? Wow, that's amazing. And they're rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repented.
Amen. Amen.
That's one thought. I'll give you some other thoughts here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 9. This is what Paul said. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world. And that was definitely true. They were a spectacle. Unto the world and to angels. And to angels. Can you imagine the angels? Whether they're still in heaven or they're down here and they say, oh man, what's going on with Paul? Man, what's going on with him? Look at him. They beat him up and put him in a prison. Him and Silas are rejoicing. Did you hear that? Hey, you know, we've been singing, but listen to them guys sing. Isn't that amazing? Singing in affliction. Wow, that is amazing.
Amen.
He said, that's what Paul says. Paul said, we're a spectacle not only to men, but the angels. They're watching you. Did you know there's cameras in here? There are people watching you. You forgot about that, didn't you? You go into a store and they're watching you. They're watching you. Did you know angels are watching you?
Amen.
That's amazing. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. I'm not going to try to figure out all the things about angels. It came up the other day in one of our studies, and Bill, I got a verse for you. It says, in somewhere, I forget where it's at, it says, those fallen angels left their first estate. So there may have been a change, talking about whether angels can marry or not. And that's a different story, but I thought I wanted to remind Bill of that. They left their first estate. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13. But to whom of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
That's us.
That's us. That's exactly right. You got an angel ministering to you. Do you remember Daniel? It appeared like he was a little bit discouraged. He'd sent some prayers up and the angel comes and says, I was coming the first day. I was coming to bring it, but I had to fight off some things over here. But here I am now. I'm here to minister to you. Yeah.
Amen.
You ever heard of a guardian angel?
Yeah.
Maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe there's an angel sitting right next to you watching over you. Maybe there's an angel pulling that accelerator back up a little bit after you pressed it down too far. I don't know about that, but. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, I haven't found any angels in the Bible that have wings.
No.
Maybe they are. Maybe these seraphims are some type of higher order of angels. But all the angels in the Bible seem to appear as men. And then this verse seems to indicate you might have been entertaining some angels and didn't even realize it. But the point is, Peter said, the angels desire to see the things that you're seeing and experiencing. They're looking in onto it. Did you think about that? And if they're ministering spirits, then when we go through our fiery trials and temptations and things like that, hey, we can get through it because God is sending ministers to us. Hang in there, brethren. It's going to be all right. It's worth it. Serve God. Hang on. What does he say, therefore? Which things the angels desire to look into? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because of these things, which the prophets desired to look into, and because the angels themselves are desiring to look into this, he says, gird up the loins of your mind. Strengthen yourselves. Get ready. Do you know when they had the Passover in Exodus? You know what the Lord said? Gird up your loins and eat the Passover. Get ready to go. And Peter saying, being a good Jew, understanding the Old Testament, having read it all his life and been exposed to it all his life, he's saying, gird up the loins of your mind, get ready to get in action. You're going to fire, you're going to have some difficulties, and you're going to have some trials, you're going to have some problems in your life, but hang in there, brother! Christ is coming!
Amen.
Isn't that what he's saying? And he's telling us, if you've been a partaker of this new life, if you've been begotten again, if you've been born again, and you have this salvation of your souls, then go through the fiery temptations that come onto you with joy. Gird up the loins of your mind. Look over in Luke chapter 12. I think the Lord says something similar. Luke chapter 12 and verse 35. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord, when he shall return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. What's the Lord saying? Be ready!
Amen.
Get ready! He's coming back! Are you ready?
Amen.
Gird up the loins of your mind. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14, Paul said something similar. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Our minds ought to be fixed on what's true.
Amen.
And this world offers us a bunch of illusions. And we ought to gird up our mind and get the scriptures in our heart and mind and understand what's really going on. It's a spiritual warfare. There are angels looking in. There are prophets that prophesied about it. And they're all looking in on this action, the salvation of your souls. And God has saved you, and you ought to serve him. And don't be deluded by the things of this world. Keep your eye on the coming of the Lord. Lift up your eyes unto him. Keep on being a burning light, being a testimony, being a witness. Give others people the gospel, the good news that Christ died for them and that he's coming again. This world is going to end.
Amen.
Gird up the loins of your mind. What else does he say? Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Hello. That's good advice for our generation.
Yes.
Yeah? Life is not about getting drunk or intoxicated. Boy. People that drink or take drugs or whatever, they are dissatisfied with their current estate. They're in a state of depression. They're either trying to forget something, or they're trying to get lost in something. They're not happy with their current condition, and so they drink or they take drugs because they want to get out of it. Let me tell you a better solution that doesn't have side effects. The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Spent time with the Lord and never had a hungover with him. The only hangover is joy and peace. Never had to call a doctor after I spent time with the Lord. Now, some of my colleagues thought I was a little bit crazy and I ought to go see the psychologist. How can you be happy in this situation? Can't you see it's raining? It's all right. I serve the God that has all that under control. The Son of Righteousness. Paul exhorted, he said, young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded. So the idea of being sober can not only be talking about don't be intoxicated, don't be drunk, but it also can be circumspect. See things in perspective, be alert, be watchful. Think about it, think soberly. Think about reality. What's really real? Not what the world says, but what God says. What's important? Think on these things. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober-minded, Paul says. Peter says in chapter 4 and verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Alright? If you knew that everything was coming to an end, and we're getting down to the end, he says, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Do you know that the world is going to end? Then don't invest in the world.
Amen. Amen.
If Enron is going to close up, don't invest in Enron.
Right.
If the company is going to go kaput, don't put your money in that. Don't put your effort in something that's going to be kaput. Put your money and your effort and your time into something that's going to endure.
Amen.
Many a man has planned for their retirement, and they get down to retirement age, and they finally retire, and it just took wings and flew away. My father is a perfect example. He lived his entire life working very hard, instilled in me a work ethic that you got to go to work. I can still remember 15 years old. He came home from work. It was summertime. I'd been off of school, and I'm sitting there watching the boob tube, and he says, "What are you doing?" "Watching TV, killing time." "Nope. Get out of this house. Go get a job. Don't come back till you do have one." And he worked all his life for retirement. And then he finally got to retirement, and he lost it all in one day. Everything. By the skin of his teeth, he saved his home. And you know what happened? You think that was a disaster? That woke him up, and he got saved. Because he realized he wasted his whole life in chasing after the almighty dollar that had wings on it, that flew away, that he couldn't hold on to it. It was like a grease pole that just slipped out of his hand in a moment. And he realized the vanity of life, and he got saved.
Amen.
And you know what he told me on his deathbed? I was with him. He said, "I've wasted my life. I should have been preaching this gospel a long time ago."
Amen.
That's good advice for you and I.
Yeah.
Take it for somebody that's experienced it. Don't waste your life. He said, "The end of all things are at hand. Therefore, be sober. Think about reality. Watch unto prayer." Chapter 5, verse 8. "Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Be alert, brethren.
Yeah.
Be on your guard. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Be ready. Be vigilant. Be circumspect. We are in a battle. Hang in there, though. We got the victory.
Amen.
What else does he say? "Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The grace of God. Then he says, "As obedient children." This is going to be extra here. Children ought to be taught. You parents, you ought to teach your children to be obedient. You should not allow disobedience. Now, I believe the scriptures can give you a plan on how to teach your children to be obedient.
Yes.
And these are pretty clear in the scriptures. And once you think about it, once you see the light, once you connect the dots, then you understand there is a way to teach your children to be obedient.
Yes, sir.
You have that responsibility. God has given you children. The children are the heritage of the Lord. God has given them to you. You have the responsibility to train them. And one of the things you ought to train them to do is be obedient.
Amen.
Now, Peter here is saying, you as spiritual children, you as sons of God, you ought to be built. You ought to be obedient just as children are to be obedient. You ought to obey your father. You know, we would solve a lot of our problems if we would obey the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We would solve a lot of our problems if we would not grieve the Holy Spirit of God that is in us. If we would walk in the Spirit in obedience to Him. Wow. And boy, I'm talking to myself too.
Amen.
I find myself in a situation, I think, how in the world did I get here? Well, disobedience, rebellion, not listening. Yeah. He says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance." Don't be yearning for the leeks and garlics of Egypt.
Right.
Don't be yearning for that past life. You weren't happy in that past life. It didn't bring you contentment.
Amen.
It didn't bring you peace.
Amen.
It didn't clear your conscience. It did nothing for you but destroy you. Don't go back.
Right.
Move forward and keep your eyes on the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
"But as he which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, he's not saying don't ever sin, even though that would be a truth, that you shouldn't sin, go and sin no more. That was definitely a truth, and God does not sin. But he's saying here, when he says be holy, he's saying be separate, be consecrated, Be distinct from this world. When we say Holy Bible, we're not saying the Bible cannot sin. It can't sin or not sin. It's just it's an object, but it's a separated book. It's a distinct book. When we say that building is holy, it's made out of the same wood or the same bricks that your house is made out of. But it's been separated. It's been consecrated. The same thing with the foods. The Lord consecrated certain foods in the Old Testament, and He called them clean and unclean, holy and unholy. The same thing with you and I. We ought to be distinct. We are a holy nation, a holy priesthood, a holy people. There ought to be something different from us than the world. We ought to be separated from the world. And we shouldn't fashion ourselves according to the temptations and the lust of the old world. We should be walking the newness of life. We should be walking in the light of the Scriptures and the light of God. And we should be a holy people.
Amen.
Are you holy?
Amen.
Ephesians 1 and verse 4. And we'll finish up here. Ephesians 1 and verse 4, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what?
Holy.
Holy and without blame before Him in love. Now all of us have experienced temptations, or what they call peer pressure. Young people have this all the time. You need to get a tattoo. Why do you join the Marines? Everybody's getting a tattoo. I gotta get one. Everybody's putting sticks in their nose. I gotta get one. That's called peer pressure. We've all experienced it. We've all succumbed to it. What the Lord is telling us, don't succumb to the temptations of this world.
Amen.
Don't listen to their advice. Listen to your Father's advice. Pay attention to your Father. If you had listened to your earthly father, you could have kept yourself out of a lot of trouble, because as you grew up, then you realize, well, my daddy was a little bit smarter than I thought he was. Yeah? But how much more our Heavenly Father? We ought to be listening to His voice and paying attention, and not the pressures of this world. That's what He says, be ye holy. You've been chosen for that purpose. And one more. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Brethren, be ye holy, for the Lord is holy. Consider the things that the Apostle Peter is saying unto us. We've have the salvation of our souls. We've been begotten again by the word of truth. We've been saved. We've been forgiven. Therefore, we should walk with hope, with a lively hope, knowing that the Lord is coming again, and knowing that the Lord has a purpose for all the trials that we go through. There's a purpose. And if you can just hang on and lift up your eyes and not get focused on the fiery trials that beset us, and look to the end chapter, you can get through it. And you can sing as Paul and Silas did in a jail cell. And you can give praise to glory like Job did. If you can do that, if you can keep your eyes up on the Lord, and that's what Peter's saying, listen, it's not an easy life. You're going to go through some difficulties, but it's all right. The Lord knows what's going on. He's got it all planned out. He's working in you. He's got a plan for you. And He's coming again. Don't give up hope. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for that lively hope. We're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to return. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Bless the rest of this meeting today. Bless all those that are here this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll take a 5-minute break, and then afterwards, the preaching.